Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Nehemiah chapter 2. This word for queen is not the normal word that we use in Scripture. The word that we use in Scripture for queen is Malka. Melech for king, Malka for queen. The first time the word Malka is mentioned in the Bible is in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 1 about the queen of Sheba, Malkat Shva. She came to visit King Solomon. But the word here is not Malka. The word here in Hebrew is Shegal. This word Shegal is only mentioned twice in the Tanakh. One time here and another time in Psalm 45 you find the word is Shegal. And when it says the queen also sitting by him, the word Shegal can also mean more than just a queen. It could be a companion. It could have been a person that is related to the king. It's not necessarily the word Malka, queen. The word is Shegal. Now, some Bible teachers believe that this queen or this Shegal that was sitting by him may be Esther, the queen that was married to Ahasuerus, Xerxes, the one who was the father of this man. And she, if he was her son, may very well have a great influence upon this man by the name of Artaxerxes, Queen Esther. You remember Esther is the name that she has in the diaspora, but her Hebrew name is Hadassah. And she became the queen married to King Xerxes, who have embraced her to be his wife. And you remember Vashti had to be taken out of the way. Queen Esther was chosen from all the beautiful women in Persia at that time. And it may very well be that this was the Queen Esther, who is the Shegal here in this verse, that had an impact upon him and influenced him to give Nehemiah the room to go to care, it's not only of Nehemiah's people, but it was Esther's people. And you remember how Esther saved all our Jewish people in the time when Haman wanted to kill all the Jewish people, years before. So the Spirit of God, by divine design, putting this clause, the queen also sitting by him, and here's the king's says a statement. He says, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. See, the king didn't want to lose Nehemiah. Really, he was such a faithful servant. He had to let him go because he sensed the urgency that he has in his heart. And he said to him, you know, Nehemiah, how long you will go, and when you will return. He wanted him to come back. So it says here at the end of verse 6, so it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Now, how long time Nehemiah would give him, we do not know the length of time. But if you will turn to chapter 5 and verse 14, you will notice that Nehemiah have gone for 12 years. Look at this, it says in verse 14 of Nehemiah chapter 5, moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be the governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th years even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years. And I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. In other words, what Nehemiah is saying in chapter 5, we learn that for 12 years he have gone to Judea, to Jerusalem. A little bit later on, if you read in chapter 13, that after 12 years he have gone back to the king, and then he returned back to the city of Jerusalem. So for 12 years, Nehemiah left Shushan, the palace, the city of Shushan. He went to Jerusalem. He built and he worked around the city of Jerusalem in the land of Israel. And he only returned after 12 years. Now, I don't know what happened. Maybe he sent information to the king. He says, listen, I need more time and I need to stay to finish the job that I have here. And the king allowed him. But the king asking these twofold questions: how long is your journey going to be? And when will you return? Nehemiah, how long is it going to take? When you're going to return? So I set him a time. The word for time, zman, simply means that he set up a certain time, a certain date, but apparently 12 years it took him to be there in the land of Judea, in the city of Jerusalem, to help there with the situation there. So number one, he first of all requested that he will be sent by himself. Number two now, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 7, he requested letters. See, Nehemiah was a very practical man. He was not merely a person who was heavenly minded, but not earthly good. Practically, he knew what he was doing. And so in verse 7, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over until I come unto Judah. He knew very well what was going to happen. He was going to go across the Euphrates River. And as he arrived to the area in the land of Israel, the governors might say to him, who sent you? How can you come to this area? Who gave you the permission? So Nehemiah said, I want those letters from the king. Notice letters here are plural. Because everywhere he have gone, there were governors there. Can you imagine if he passed through area and a new governor and a new governor, and everyone needed to get a letter from the king Artaxerxes that he gave the permission for Nehemiah to come into the city of Judea. So he was very wise. You see, brothers and sisters, it's not only enough to pray to the Lord, and yes, we have to trust the Lord, but we also have to take the responsibility in what we are doing, to be practical. You know, a believer is not only heavenly minded, but is not responsible in a practical way here in his or her life. So Nehemiah was very practical. Yes, he prayed. He trusted the Lord, but he was not waiting there and doing nothing. He was taking the responsibility. Oh yeah, I'm going to pass the river. I'm going to have those rulers there. What I'm going to tell them? They will ask me some question. Well, here's a letter from King Artaxerxes. He told me, he gave me the permission to come to the land of Israel and to the city of Jerusalem. Now, the third request is found in verse 8. We find out that he's asking for additional singular letter. You notice that in verse 7, it's plurality of letters for the governors. But in verse 8, it was a singular letter for the man by the name of Asaph. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. You know, the third thing that he does, he trusted the Lord and he's sharing with the king. But wait a minute, when I'm going to go to the land of Israel and I'm going to have to build the wall, well, what am I going to build them with? I need some material. What I'm going to use? You need timber, you need wood. You need to be able to build the walls of the city of Jerusalem and the gate. So he asked him for timber. And so he asked him, give me a letter for Asaph. He is the keeper of the king's forest. And ask from Asaph to give me lumber. And can you imagine, he's coming to Asaph, he's giving him this letter. Now, Asaph may very well be on the other side of the river, close to Judea area. But he will give him the material to build the walls of Jerusalem and the gates. And again, brothers and sisters, if we are going to build, we have to build with some material. Now, while here it was physical material, In our walk with the Lord, in our building of the body of Messiah, it is also some spiritual material. You know, yesterday in our Bible class of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul showed us what kind of material he used for the building of the body of Messiah. And notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And he says in verse 4, "But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God." We minister to God. We serve the people of God. We approved ourselves as a servant of God. And then he gives us a list. How did we minister? In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by the love unfeigned, verse 7, by the word of the truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Paul, how did you minister? How did you build? Well, he says, look at the material that we use in building. If we were going to serve the people of God, it must be with an attitude that is pleasing to the Lord. That verses 6 and 7 tells us, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering. We talked a little bit about long-suffering in ministering to the people of God. How long is long-suffering? It's very long. Patience. Trials that coming in the life of the people. By love, unfeigned love, he said. By the word of truth, by the power of God. It was not done by our own power. It was done by the power of God. Now, of course, Nehemiah was also gracious and loving to the people of God, but he used material. Now, we are talking about the spiritual house of God. And if we are to build the body of Messiah, we ought to use the kind of spiritual material that will be edifying and a blessing to the people of God, to the body of Messiah. Well, here Nehemiah, so beautifully, he asked to send himself. He asked letters for the governors. He asked letter for the one who is responsible over all the timber. And look at that. It says in verse 8, it says, "But when the king granted me," Nehemiah understood that it was according to the good hand of my God upon me. In other words, yes, the king had gave him this permission and gave him all the letters. But really, Nehemiah understood that behind the king, there was a loving God, the God of Israel, the one that is in his good hand, if allow me to receive this thing. And you know, in every service we do, beloved brothers and sisters, really, we are using things that the Lord had given to us to do, but really behind everything, it's the good hand of God upon us as we serve the Lord in the ministry of the Lord. And so beautiful to see that in the life of Nehemiah. Now, I want to mention one or two things about this passage. And I mentioned it earlier, but I just want to re-emphasize it one more time. We need people like Nehemiah today. We need brothers and sisters who want to serve the believers in these dark days in which we live in today. You know, Yeshua, Jesus, is coming soon. The church age is soon draw to the end. In fact, the time that we live in today is very much similar to the time in which Nehemiah lived in. While there is a restoration to the truth of the Word of God that happened a few hundred years ago, you know, in the dark ages, they didn't have the Bible in their hand. They were not teaching the Bible. And so there was a revival in church history. In the 1800s and so on, as we have it in a chronological way in the seven churches of Asia Minor, there was a revival and the truth of the Word of God and the preaching of the gospel have gone forth into this world. But we see that as time passes by, there is a decline. So we really live, beloved brothers and sisters, very similar to the days of Nehemiah. Yes, the temple was built now in Jerusalem, But everything was broken into pieces. The walls was broken down and the gates are burnt with fire. So, like today, we live in a very similar days. Now, what do we do? How do you and I handle the situation today when we can see that everything is broken to pieces? On every corner you have a church building. This one has this name, the other one has this name. There's such a salad of, you never know where to go. Who is the one who teaches the truth? What shall we do? Well, Paul warned Timothy. Then I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. Paul said to Timothy, how do we handle a time such as this? 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. He says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fearers, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away, Timothy. Now, Paul wrote 2,000 years ago, but he wrote about now, in the last days. You see, Nehemiah was now coming back to rebuild the walls. The temple was already rebuilt, but everything is still now broken. There's things, discouragement, and broken down. And we live in exactly the same time today of Ezra and Nehemiah and Paul's writing to Timothy in the second letter to Timothy. And now notice, go back to chapter 2. He says, even though in the last days there will be such a condition. By the way, he's not talking about the world here in 2 Timothy. He's talking about the professing church, the professing assembly. What we would call Christendom. But then in chapter 2 he said, nevertheless, verse 19. In spite of what's going on, Timothy, in what will happen in those last days. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. Timothy, you might not know who belonged to me, but the Lord knows. The foundation of God stands sure. It doesn't change. Even though there is a chaotic condition. And then he says in verse 19, be let everyone that named the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. And then notice what's verse 20. It's a very interesting verse. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor. If any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Timothy, let me tell you, the days will come in this so-called body of Messiah. Things are not going to get always well. There will be a decline in the last days. Things are going to be so bad, Timothy, that the house of God is now considered to be a great house. This is what we would call today Christendom. That many have many names. Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, but he's not God. Oh, I believe in Jesus, but he's not born of a virgin birth. Oh, I believe in the Bible, but you see, there is no triunity in the Bible. Oh, I believe in God, but you can lose your salvation. And I don't know if somebody knocked at your door lately and saying that they are from the Jehovah Witness. See, they believe in Jehovah. And they are witnesses for Jehovah. But Yeshua is not divine. He is an angel or something like that. This is the condition of the church in the last days, of the professing church. And I'm using the word church because it's simply Yeshua used the word ecclesia, called out ones. And that's why he says in the last days, that will be the condition, Timothy. So what shall we do? Should we say God is not true? Paul said to Timothy, no. Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord's of God stands sure. We may fail. God's people may fail. But God's word will never fail. We can trust God's word. We can lean on God's word. And so he says, how are we going to handle? In a great house, you have all kind of vessels. Some are vessels of silver, some of gold, but also you have vessels of earth and vessels of wood. Some are honoring the Lord and some are dishonoring the Lord. Then he says, if a man or a woman therefore purge himself from these, then he or she shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. You see, why we need people like Nehemiah today? Because he prepared his heart as a vessel to be a blessing to the people of Israel, because he longed to help to build, to set up the walls, to set up the gates. So the people will be established and encouraged and blessed by the things of God. His name says Nehemiah, the comfort of Jehovah. That's the kind of man he was. And so I just mentioned this because whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And you and I need to ask the Lord to help us in this, as we too are called to serve the Lord in a time such as this. And so now the last two verses, verses 9 and 10. Now finally, beloved brothers and sisters, Nehemiah is ready to go. And he's going to go now to the city of Jerusalem, to the land of his forefathers, to the place where he had so much yearned to go. And look what we read in verses 9 and 10. In verse 9 it says, notice it's a personal story. I came to the governors beyond the river, and I gave them the king's letters. See, he went very wisely. Here's a letter for you, and here's a letter for you, and here's a letter for you. I have permission by King Artaxerxes. And not only so, look at this, how God worked in the heart of the king Artaxerxes. It says in verse 9b, the king had sent captains of the armies and horsemen with me. Can you imagine? The king sent along with him people to protect him. And the captain himself, I remember about probably 11, 12, 13 years ago, I went to St. Petersburg in Russia to preach the gospel on the streets of St. Petersburg. I never forget that. We were a group of Messianic Jewish people handing out tracts when the Iron Curtains fell. So it must be more than 25 years ago. And I'm so thankful because they gave me a personal guard. And I was handing my tracts, and all of a sudden a man came to me and said, "This is Israelsky propaganda." I was shivered because what am I, Jew, doing in Russia? All the Jews leave Russia and this Jewish guy come to Russia. I said, "What in the world am I doing?" You know, when you are younger, you are not thinking so much. Of course, we had a heart desire to serve the Lord. But when this guy came and he said to me, "You come with me," in Russian, I didn't understand much Russian. I know now a little bit more, Slava Bogo and so on. But nevertheless, this man who was my guard said, "What do you want from him? Leave him alone." And the guy left me alone. And we had some sort of guards that they were just watching over us because they knew it was a tough time to be there handing out tracts on the streets of St. Petersburg. But yes, I know I need to trust the Lord. Nehemiah could trust the Lord. He said, "Well, the Lord will protect me." But it sure was something else when he comes and he says, "Here's the letters. And by the way, this is the guy who is the captain of the army and the horsemen of King Artaxerxes. I can assure you that the governor says, quickly, go pass along. You not only have the letters, but you have the horsemen, the protectors who came along to protect." Now, of course, Nehemiah trusted the Lord, but it sure was a great help. The Lord provided for him that protection as he entered into the land of Israel, into the city of Jerusalem. Now, finally, brothers and sisters, look what happened in verse 10. You would think that when Nehemiah coming to Israel, to Jerusalem, to help the Jewish people, that everybody will be happy. You see, it says in verse 10, when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tuviah, the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly. that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. It grieved them. This man by the name of Sanballat and the other man by the name of Tuviah, these were two what is known to us as the Samaritans, who already opposed the children of Judah. Remember the Samaritan, we talked about it in John 4, the Samaritan woman, and how the Samaritans came about. We can share a little bit more about it in our next ministry meeting. But if you notice, if you quickly turn to Nehemiah 4, verses 1 and 2, where we read, listen to that, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and he took great indignation, and he mocked the Jews, and he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria," Shomron. Apparently, Sanballat was a Shomroni who opposed the Jewish work in the city of Jerusalem, the building of the temple, the building of the wall, and the establishing of the order that God has set and had given to the children of Israel. So what happened is that when he came, and you would think everybody will be happy, he immediately find that it grieved Sanballat and Tuviah that there was a man that came to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. What do we learn from that, brothers and sisters? If you're going to serve the Lord, if I'm going to serve the Lord, if we're going to seek to be a blessing to the people of God, I can assure you that the enemy will seek to oppose the servants of the Lord. You will find very quickly that Satan opposed the work, that the world opposed the work, and also the flesh in men opposed the work of the Lord. But Nehemiah carried on. So may the Lord help us to learn from Nehemiah in spite of opposition, so we can be a blessing to God's people and honor the Lord in our service for Him.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.